Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up. And we have him on once again, Andrew Buchholz. We recap the 53rd Grey Cup. Now we're going to Now we're going to recap the 105th Grey Cup won by the Toronto Argonauts. Yes, the Toronto Argonauts defeated the Calgary Stampeders 27-24 in Ottawa. Second year in a row, Calgary, the best team in Canadian football, losing in the biggest game. Now, let's first look at a big story here was the weather. All week, Andrew, you're based out of the U.S., I'm based out of Ontario. Nobody, but nobody said there's going to be snow at the Grey Cup, let alone snow, a blizzard, it looked like. And it played an effect earlier on in the game, right, Andrew?
Absolutely. And it's always interesting to see these. We've seen some of the greatest Grey Cup games ever in the snow, the 1996 Grey Cup in particular, and this stands up against those. And yeah, it wasn't something that a lot of people predicted, but it's something that really it had a big impact on this game. We saw plenty of cases of receivers slipping, of defensive backs slipping, and maybe the most important play of this game was Toronto's giant fumble recovery and return over 100 yards for a touchdown. And I think that has a lot to do with the snow. It's a slippery surface out there. A lot of guys weren't able to find their footing very well, and it was harder to hang on to the ball, and that led to some crazy plays like that.
All right, now, before we look back at the game, we've got to touch on this, and I'm sorry I'm going to say this, but how about the halftime show, Shania Twain coming out on a sled. How Canadian is that? And she said, the last thing she said as she was closing out her segment, I'm proud to be Canadian. A great, great moment. I know we're starting this with a halftime show, but I thought it added something, and the game was great, but it added something. What would you say, Andrew?
Absolutely. I think they did a great job with the halftime show. I think it was awesome to see Shania go out there in on the dog sled, escorted by the Mounties. It's a very Canadian moment. I thought she did a great job with her set. It was high energy. It was songs that people know. And her I Feel Like a Canadian at the end was just a perfect way to close it. And it's really cool to see that. I mean, the majority of the Grey Cup halftime acts over the years have been Canadian, but the last 3 years have not been. Last while, they've been going with Americans and going with whatever the flavor of the minute is. And I think it was awesome to see them go back to a Canadian and go back to somebody that everyone in Canada, a lot of people in Canada, really love and really appreciate.
All right, now let's look at Calgary, first of all. Like I said, the best team for years in the Canadian Football League. Last year, losing a heartbreak to Ottawa in overtime. This year, they were thinking about redemption, how perfect it would be, redemption in Ottawa against a 9-9 team, the Toronto Argonauts. And if I told you, losing Hamilton would be 33-45, 373 yards. Messam will run the ball for 62 yards. Daniels and Gordon combined for 223 yards receiving. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is another case in point where there may be some people in Calgary now that they couldn't finish the job. But at the same time, I think you have to be very proud of what the Stampeders team did all year. I think you're in far better shape if you're a team that went 13-4-1 than if you're a team that went 9-9. They're a team that had a very good chance to win this game. And like you said, by the stats, they outperformed Toronto. Bo Levi Mitchell outperformed Ricky Ray. Jerome Messam way outperformed James Wilder in the rushing game. And yet it didn't quite work out for them, and that was thanks to, in particular, that costly fumble by Kamar Jordan that turned into a touchdown for the Argonauts the other way, and thanks to Bo Levi Mitchell's final seconds interception. But I think it's still a game that Calgary should be proud of themselves. They prepared well. They were all set for the Argonauts. They played well. They fought throughout this game. And in the end, they just didn't get the breaks. But but I would still much rather be a fan of a team that's good all year and puts themselves in a great position to win than a team that's really sort of struggling to get by. Calgary has it very good, and they've been such a dominant team for the last decade plus. And I don't think this loss really takes away from that. It just shows that sometimes odd things happen in small sample sizes.
Now, the Argos' last two Grey Cup victories, both against Calgary, one here at the Rogers Centre, one in Ottawa, Sunday night. Let's talk about two outstanding plays for Pomeroy, catching a 100-yard touchdown pass. That's a record. And Cassius Vaughn running the ball, fumble return, 109 yards, both Grey Cup history, 100-yard reception, 109-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown, a tremendous art and Ricky Lee metric, but Ricky Lee was 19 of 22 for 297 yards, outstanding. And, you know, you felt it in the second and third quarter. I was saying to a couple friends of mine, if the Argos stayed close during, you know, third and fourth quarter, they have a shot to win. Not a lot of people predicted the Argos to win, but how good do you feel for Mark Trestman and Popter? They came into an Argos situation where the Argos were arguably the worst team in the league last year, and March, I think it was late February, early March, they had basically 2 months to prepare, and now they're Grey Cup champions. And how about Chicago Bears? Chicago Bears are one of the worst teams in NFL. And I mentioned the Chicago Bears because Mark Trestman was the coach of the Bears last year.
Yeah, I think it's an incredible year for the Argos. And a lot of people wrote, and myself included, thought they weren't going to do very well this year because they got Jim Popp and Mark Trestman so late in the offseason. Both of those guys have proven themselves to be great in the CFL, but they came in with such a disadvantage thanks to that. And I think that really showed up in their mediocre regular season, in them only finishing 9-9. But they gelled as the year went on. They did a great job of keeping Ricky Ray healthy, which is something that really hasn't been the case since 2012 and since that last Grey Cup. He's run into a whole lot of injuries since then. But they blocked for him better this year. They were able to establish a running game and take the heat off him. And he really was key to their success. I think Trestman and Pop were also a huge part of that. They brought in important pieces. Mark Trestman was able to work with the pieces they had and get the most out of everyone. And in this game in particular, they found a way to hang on and hang around despite being outplayed in a lot of the yardage metrics. And in a small sample size, anything can happen. The Argonauts weren't the best team in the league this regular season. They may not have even been the best team in this Grey Cup when it comes to the overall statistics, but they came out on top in the end. And that's thanks to just hanging in there, to taking their moments and capitalizing at key times, and to really coming through in the clutch. And I think it's so fitting that it was Matt Black who made the game-clinching interception, because he's a guy who's been, he's been an Argonaut for so many years. He's been with the team for 9 years. He's been off and on during that time. They even cut him earlier this year and then brought him back. But he's been such a community guy. He's been such a clubhouse leader. He's a Canadian defensive back who's been really key for them in a lot of ways, on special teams, on defense. And it was so fitting that he came up with that game-sealing interception.
Two final questions with Andrew Buchholz here as we recap the 105th Grey Cup, the Argos Grey Cup champions for 2017, defeating the Calgary Stampeders 27-24. Let's talk about the crowd now, or sort of a party Tuesday, Wednesday in Toronto. Do you expect a big celebration? Because, you know, for the Eastern Division final, they had the biggest crowd of the year, 25,000. Do you think the ripple effect of being Grey Cup champions will be felt come June, July, August, September at BMO Field? Do you think they could average over 20 to 25,000 next year? And the second part of the question, I'm going to ask you, Ricky Ray did an interview with TSN and he was tearing up. Do you expect Ricky Ray to announce his retirement in the off season?
Yeah, I mean, as per the attendance, I think this is certainly helpful for Toronto. I think they'll get a good amount of people out at the Grey Cup parade. It's not going to be overwhelming, but I would expect similar to 2012. And I think that they may be able to build on the momentum in a way they were not in 2012. I think it's helpful that they have a new ownership group, that they have a group that's willing to invest and willing to advertise and market the team. And that's something that wasn't true under former owner David Brayley, who did a very good job of saving the team, but was notoriously tight with the pennies. So I think that there's a good chance that they can build on this and capitalize on this and improve the attendance next year. I don't think it's going to hit the 20,000 mark on average, but I think it will be better than this past year, and I think they will be able to keep building, especially if they have a good team again next season. And Ray's decision is going to play a big part in that. I think the Argonauts would love to have him back. They'd love to keep him around. There's no clear successor for him at this point in time, and they'd love to keep going with him and with what he was able to do this year. But at the same time, Ray is getting up there. He's in his late 30s. He's taken a lot of hits and a lot of abuse over the years, and this might be the perfect time for him to step away. I mean, it's harder to do any better than going out with Ray Cup. Ricky Ray is going to be a CFL legend if he retires right now. He's a surefire Hall of Famer, and he may well decide that this is the moment to walk away. If he decides he wants to hang around, I'm sure Toronto would welcome him, but I think there's definitely a good chance that this is the final game for him.
I asked you this question in our Vanier Cup recap. Give me your thoughts of, you know, the story of the year for the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, I think there have been a lot of good stories from the CFL this year. I think it was interesting to see sort of the league office turmoil with Jeffrey Orr leaving as commissioner and with Randy Ambrosi coming in. But I think that's worked out quite well, and it's worked out better than a lot of people imagined it might at first. I think Randy Ambrosi has generally done a pretty good job. I have some quibbles with his avoidance of the concussion issue, but that's something that's been going on for many commissioners now. And I think he's recognized what people like about this league. He's done a good job of reaching out to the fans and interacting with the fans, and I think he's done a good job of building the brand. I think it was also interesting, the story of the year in the CFL might be the decision mid-season to suddenly reduce the number of coaches' challenges. And there have been some issues with that. There were times even in this game where there were questionable calls that couldn't be challenged because coaches didn't have a challenge left. But by and large, I think that's been a positive decision. It's sped up games. It's reduced the amount of time on replay reviews. And I think even though it was a sort of unprecedented the way they did that, I think it's a decision that's worked out for the best. There have been lots of great on-field moments. We've seen tons of highlights. This league has incredible players in it, from guys like Daron Carter to guys like Ricky Gray to guys like Bo Levi Mitchell to guys like Mike Riley, who won the league's Most Outstanding Player Award. And there's a whole lot of talent in this league. There's a whole lot of great players. It's an excellent product, and I think they're only going to build on that going forward.
Now, this is the last question with Andrew Buckles. If I asked you today, right now, will the Calgary Stampeders be the Grey Cup champions or Grey Cup favorites for 2018?
I think they would. I think Calgary was the most consistent and most dominant team this year, and even though they lost in the Grey Cup on the final play, I don't think that means they aren't the favorites going forward. I think there's a lot less uncertainty about them than there is about, say, the Toronto Argonauts. You know that Bo Levi Mitchell was going to be back under center for Calgary. You don't know if Ricky Ray is going to be back under center for Toronto. Calgary is going to have a great defense. They're going to be able to run the ball well, and they've got a whole lot of receiving talent. It's certainly not preordained that they'll be in the Grey Cup again, much less winning it. There's a lot of competition out there for them, and I think in particular the Edmonton Eskimos are another team that's going to be feared given the way they played this year, given the way Mike Riley played and the way their defense played. You've got other improving teams like the Saskatchewan Roughriders, who made a huge jump forward this year under Chris Jones. I think you've got teams in the East like Toronto and Ottawa that are going to be better next regular season than they were this year. But with all that said, I think Calgary's still the best team in this league and the most dominant team in this league. And a lot can happen, but after losing two breakups, they're really going to have a chip on their shoulder.
Now, I received two texts. Roy Mitchell, Eric Cohen want me to ask you this question. Should people in Calgary or in Canadian Football League question Dave Dickinson for throwing that ball when the Argos had a chance? They ran the ball, and they ran it to the middle of the field, allowing the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
They had a chance for a tying field goal, not a winning field goal, a tying field goal. They decided to throw the ball, and it was intercepted. Is there going to be a lot of heat on Dickinson for that call?
I don't think so. It's nothing like last week where people correctly questioned Edmonton coach Jason Moss for going for a field goal instead of going for a touchdown when they were trailing by a touchdown. This was the right call by Dave Dickinson to take a couple of shots at the end zone and see if they could win it in regulation. There was enough time left on the clock. They were not risking the tying field goal attempt by doing this. In the end, it's just it was a throw that wasn't perfect. Maybe the read on the play wasn't perfect. Maybe you don't want Bo Levi Mitchell actually throwing it when there's two defenders in the area. But it wasn't a terrible read, and it wasn't a terrible throw. And it's something that under other slightly different circumstances could have won Calgary the game. We saw the Stampeders lose in overtime last year. Overtime is far from a sure bet. And I think that if they were smart to at least take a shot at going for the win. It's just unfortunate it didn't work out for them.
52 Super Bowls, probably 40 of them have been blowouts. 105 Grey Cups, and I got to say, probably 95 have been close games. Kudos to the CFL, both the Argos and the Canadian Football League. A great, great, great cup. Andrew Buckles with me recapping the Grey Cup. Check out Andrew Buckles' recap of the Vanier Cup. Andrew, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find my CFL pieces on barnburner.ca. You can find my U-Sports pieces over at usports.ca. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Buckles, and you can find my other work at The Comeback and Awful Announcing.
That's Andrew Buckles. Thanks a lot, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.